welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And I might sound like a frog, but I'm actually a lot better than the frog I was last week.
And he's loaded on cough medicine.
Yeah, so if I say something silly, it's not my fault.
So hopefully
fault.
You won't be coughing.
Yeah, really.
That's the whole point.
Hey, the sponsor of this hour is Team Power.
Do tell.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, if you need any tractor work, go up and see them. They're starting to book up, so if you got something you need fixed, you better get up there and get it in there now, because otherwise you're going to be waiting a week or two. Team Power is a local Kubota tractor
sure.
dealer.
Easy for you to say.
I know it. It's cough syrup. And they'll give you a great deal on a tractor. You can actually go down and see them this weekend down at the Home and Garden Show down at the fairgrounds. And we got some equipment down there on display. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. You can reach them at 226-9226 or online at redingtractors.com.
Boom.
Those are the guys, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Pinocchio, Snow White, and Superman were out for a stroll one day.
Yeah, they were out for a stroll.
So as they walk, they come across a sign. Beauty contest for the most beautiful woman in the world. I am entering, said Snow White. After a half hour, she comes out, and they ask her, well, how'd you do? First place, says Snow White. So they continue walking. They see a sign, contest for the strongest man in the world.
There you go.
I'm entering, says Superman, of course. After a half hour, he comes out. How'd you do? First place. Did you ever have any doubt? Then they're walking along. Next contest. Ready for this? Who is the greatest liar in the world?
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Not who's ever been a wooden boy. Not that one.
I'm only a boy.
Yeah. Who's been the greatest liar in the world? So Pinocchio is like, this is mine. Half hour later, he comes back. Tears in his eyes.
Dejected.
Little wooden eyes. What happened? They said, who the hell is Pelosi? said Pinocchio.
That's harsh.
So feel free to enter, you know, put whoever you want in there.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Nancy, for that one. She emailed me that one this morning. I was like, okay, that's too much fun not to read. I got that right after I got my my update from MoveOn.org. You haven't lived unless you're getting the MoveOn.org emails, by the way. You are missing out, because there's nothing like reading just paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, only to find out, can you chip in $3 to our cause?
Just $3.
I feel sad for them. I mean, it almost makes me want to just, you know.
They should say $2.
Yeah, not chip in. But this is it. That's what their thing starts with. This is it. Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And just in case we replay this at a different date, today's March 24th, 2019, and the Mueller report came out Friday. But nobody knows what's in it.
No.
Although Jerry Nadler has already said he doesn't care what's in it, because we know there was collusion.
It's a good thing they protected Mueller in the beginning
from
being
thank God.
Fired.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller has just submitted his report on Russian interference in the 2016 election and the Trump campaign's crimes, corruption, and obstruction of justice. It is now up to William Barr, Donald Trump's attorney general, to decide if the report will be made public. And they go on, of course.
I just heard this morning that he is busily covering it up.
Well, that's why MoveOn.org is sending me this,
okay.
So I will know.
All right. Yeah, he's covering
friend.
It up.
They call me friend. That's why I keep getting the updates. This is going to be a long fight, and we need sustained, consistent funds to build the grassroots pressure. That's where the $3 comes in, which is just sad. So their big plan of action, you want to know what they're going to do with your $3? There's three activities, a dollar for each one.
Throw it at me.
Yep. Launch a massive push to call on Barr to release the report. A massive push.
Whoa.
There you go.
Whoa. I bet it works,
Woo.
Too.
I bet he was thinking about hiding
it.
Under the covers and everyone would forget by Monday.
With that kind of support, how could he say no?
Exactly. And then we're going to activate the Trump. Okay, I'm just going to say what they say. I have a really hard time reading things that make no sense. But activate the Trump is not above the law rapid response network. If Barr refuses to make the report public. So mostly that's not happening yet. That's just you're like waiting and activate. You're, you know, you don't add the water yet.
Wait a little bit. If he keeps one line of that report from the public.
That's right. And you'll know somehow because Jerry Nadler will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And then demand Congress continue its investigation into Trump's wrongdoing. that isn't there, including subpoenaing key figures into the Judiciary and Intelligence Committees of the House, examining the conflicts of interest in his tax returns, and launching impeachment proceedings if the report leads us there. So pretty much it's all, you know, sky's the limit.
Because, you know, if a trained professional investigator can't find it, then I would turn it over to the absolute professionals.
Oh, yeah. Because nine in ten Americans, they also told me, they want Mueller's report to be made public, and 9 in 10 of them won't read it. But anyway, and a whopping 80%, we are part of the whopping, 80% in Trump's own party, because Trump has his own party, you know.
Yeah.
According to the poll released on Wednesday. Oh, hold on. What's the citation? Poll was up. It's a CNN poll, so...
There you go.
Obviously, right, the Communist News Network would not lie to us.
And, fair and balanced.
MSLSD, I'm sure, is following right up with that. So anybody who would like me to... I might just add that to today's webpage. You can find that and a whole bunch of other actually useful stuff at wethepeopleradio.us. So we have now stalled for time, and our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, may or may not be with us, but Ashley's giving us the thumbs up.
We're going to have to up his pay.
We are. We're going to have to go to $1.87.
I mean, yeah, well, this stalling thing is
tough. There was some question about my getting a sex change, so I figured that kind of paid him for this show, considering I decided I wasn't going to get the sex change, but there was a question mark. So that's how we get our guests to come on. We send ambiguous emails that lead people into bizarre...
And we promise them a raise of $2.50.
If MoveOn.org can get $3, Lyle, I say you hold out.
Oh, we can't go for full three.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
You're there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know if it was the satellites, the clouds, the sun, the moon, or what interfering with all of this, but
it was the Mueller report. Through.
I think it was the Mueller.
It was Jerry Nadler's big brain churning away, putting so much heat into the atmosphere. We do
That's
have
right.
global warming.
We know it wasn't Trump's party, though.
Well, I couldn't get through, and then when I did, I could only hear parts of what you were saying.
Nice.
And what I did hear was, we need to pay Lyle $250 per show.
That was a bad connection.
That was part of the
terrible connection.
It was part of the Pinocchio report.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good grief.
So I know.
What are we talking about?
I know. Well, I actually, you know, just because I didn't have a title, I called it Everything But the Kitchen Sink, today's show. And, you know, I think I'm just going to leave it because, you know, we are kind of going to talk about everything but the kitchen sink. Let's see. Possible topics we have listed just in case people would like to have that spoiler alert. Let's see. We're talking about the Trump-Israel peace plan. Got several things on that and some good stuff on the web for you.
Okay.
And hold on, scrolling down.
Okay.
Oh, the sheriff, our last best hope. Maybe you could retitle that article. It's very hard to read. So that was a great article you sent to me with a bunch of gun measures and
some Second Amendment sheriffs. Yeah.
Stuff about that. And then...
Bill, does she even post any of the stuff I sent her?
It's all there.
It's all there. Okay.
Adam,
it's there for a little while.
Bill doesn't know the password.
I always worry about the poor people in Nigeria who are listening to the show, and they never, you know, I don't know if they get a chance to look at the website of all the stuff she references.
I heard they fire their translators every time this show comes on because they don't know what the heck she's talking about.
It's the French. The French are our number one listeners outside the U.S. right now. Vive la French. It's supposed to be La France, but I don't really
like it. Vive la France.
Vive la French. Spoken like a true American.
Yeah.
You know, there goes your ambassadorship.
What is wrong with me today? Bill fed me eggs this morning. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that.
It is. So it's not France dressing?
And it wasn't green eggs and ham. What?
France dressing?
It could be.
Oh, okay.
And then we have Representative Adam Kinzinger's report from the border. So we're going to talk about drugs, more human trafficking, and a bunch of other unpleasantness.
Okay.
So there is the kitchen sink for us. So let's see. Why don't we let Carly Simon throw us our favorite song and we'll pick it up on the backside of that. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me
Israelite,
sir. Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth.
It's my favorite one. I couldn't wait any longer. So, I guess we never really introduced our guest. Lyle comes on enough now, we just give him a hard time and just let him start talking. It's pretty bad. You're better.
They know him as that guy that works for a $1.85.
Like, who is that guy anyway? So just in case you never go to the website, which I don't know why that would happen, but just in case you didn't. And the web address, by the way, is wethepeopleradio.us. But our guest today, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, earned a bachelor's degree in political science, which makes him an all-around smart guy, smarter than Gerald Nadler anyway, and a master's degree in counseling, which obviously would be useful in Gerald Nadler's job, from Northern Arizona University, and his doctorate from Clayton College of Natural Medicine. So he can, he can fix us if we break. If we go crazy, he can fix us. And then if we decide to get into politics, well, obviously, there's treatment for that because he specializes in the treatment of psychological disorders. Also holds, I really like doing your bio this way. I think I'm going to do it like this all the time.
Great.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Please,
wow.
Please don't.
It'll be my last show, Bill.
I don't blame you.
Bill's going to move the show to Saturday and not tell me. He also holds a postdoctorate in forensic counseling. I don't even know what that's about. Is that if you lie, you got to go find out if they were lying? And another one in or in deep trouble behavioral psychotherapy. He taught in the Criminal Justice Department at Wayland Baptist University, the Phoenix campus, and at Grand Canyon University, where he held the position of Director for the Public Safety Administration, Homeland Security, and Crisis Management Programs. You know, you have been there and done that.
Circle K still charges me for my cup of coffee.
Those bastards.
What's that about?
I don't know.
It's a sickness. It's capitalism. It's greed. Call Ocasio-Cortez. She'll go whip men into shape and get them to leave your town. Then you'll have nothing.
Your listeners in France are probably tuning off right now.
They're calling their friends right now. That's what they're doing. They have all got their yellow shirts on, and they're like, we love these guys. You know, ever since the yellow shirts took off, actually, we've taken off in France, so I don't know what that means. I should change the background of the website, make it yellow. Okay, so we played the Israelites because you had sent us some super information, all joking aside, which is obviously going to be really hard, but on the Trump-Israel peace plan. And bottom line is, we will say it because we don't know if you want to, probably not. But the most concerning thing about all the information you sent us was Jared Kushner's sort of take on everything. But I guess before we peel it apart, maybe you could give us a like kind of a 30,000 foot view so people can catch up because the news is obviously not covering this.
Okay. All kidding aside now for what,
yeah,
a minute?
Exactly.
Okay. Are you posting this so everybody can look at it?
I did.
Okay. The reason I said that is because it is there is a lot to it.
Exactly.
And I want people to be able to read complete sentences and then paragraphs. The report's not horrendously long, but it is somewhat detailed, and I don't want them to get the wrong idea. As a strong supporter of the president, I was. And my colleagues were seriously taken back to hear that a peace plan was coming into play in the next so many weeks after the Israeli election on April 9th. And part of that plan is purported to be giving away sections, slivers of land of Israel. That is a no-no. God has made it abundantly clear from eons ago that any nation, any leader, any individual, anybody, I don't know how much more clear I can be, but anyone
yes.
that tries to alter the covenant between God or Jehovah in Hebrew and the land of Israel will face serious consequences and curses. That's in Genesis 12:3. But there's other passages, both Old and New Testament, that support that. And my concern here, along with colleagues, is something that Mr. Trump said based on information that he was getting from Mr. Kushner, and that is that the president came out and stated that Israel will now pay a higher price in peace negotiations with the Palestinians since Israel won very big, that's a quote, very big with the recent U.S. embassy move. He then went on and said, now the Palestinians will get something very good. It's their turn. Well, I know he's
a
consummate deal maker, and I support that. But you do not trifle with, you do not toy with God's chosen land, Israel. And I'm concerned that Mr. Trump's not getting really great counsel. And secondly, if he goes through with the Kushner plan that I just outlined, that they will give away certain parts. And in my reports that you've posted, we go into much more detail. If he does that, there will be absolute strong discipline, if not judgment, upon America as well as Israel. Netanyahu knows this. He did it before, and he was removed from office. He was brought back, and if he does it this time, I have every reason to believe he will be facing very serious consequences, as will the nation of Israel, as will the people of America. So that was the genesis of putting together a report like this to find out if indeed this peace plan has anything to do with giving up pieces of the land of Israel. And if it does, it should be a no-starter. But my understanding, based on slivers that have been leaked and have been all over Israel as well as some other places, that is going to happen. It's going to be proposed that certain sections of Israel, including pieces of the city of Jerusalem, will be handed over. They'll still stay under Israeli control, but they'll be handed over to the Palestinians. And that's just, to me, my colleagues and those that follow biblical prophecy, that is absolutely stunning and sobering, and I pray we're wrong. I pray we've gotten some bad information, and I will come back on. I will write and send it to you so you can post it, my apology, and then I will come back on if you'll allow me and say I was really wrong on this, and I'm glad I was.
He invited several of the evangelical leaders to the White House. Now, did he ask them there for their advice or just to let them know what his plan was? Because they didn't really say much about it.
Wow, Bill, that's really neat. That's really perspective.
You go, Bill.
They a very small select group of evangelicals were invited to the White House last week. They were briefed without seeing the full plan. Only about, let's say, seven people have seen the full plan. However, as I said just a minute or so ago, sections have been leaked. Again, if you read, and this is rhetorical, I don't mean this in a negative way, you guys. If you read what I've written and sent you and you post it, you'll see the sections that have been leaked. I've named them. There are six bullet points that I pointed out that are part, at least purportedly part of this peace plan. And this is absolutely ruinous. This is terrible. The evangelicals did not say anything. They have not come out publicly and stated that this should not be done, as I have done here and my colleagues. They've been moot. And so I'm very, very concerned that this could go ahead and be attempted to be implemented.
Hmm. Yeah, that's disturbing.
Not
and, and again, I pray I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, prayerfully you'll allow me back on, even if it's just for a minute to own
give you a hard time.
And to, well, and rightly so. And I'll say I own it. And I'll write a letter or write to you that way, and you can post it if you so. I mean, this is too serious to be playing around with.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can't just wait until it's all done. I mean, that's...
No, ma'am. And what we've done is we have sent the reports that I've sent you. You should have three now. I sent them during the break, but you should have all three. I've sent those. You can post them. They've gone out all over the nation and internationally, as a matter of fact.
I only have two attachments.
Part one and part three.
I have a part one and a part three Word documents thus far.
You should have the bullet points also, do you?
And I have all your links.
But do you have the bullet points?
I don't.
They're not on the site, so I don't
Negatory,
know if
good buddy.
Pick those up.
Really?
Yeah. We'll get that all squared away.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm looking at them here, and I sent them to you. Check your email again, because I did send it during the break. But that's okay. I will
here
I'll
we go.
Do it again.
Points 1 through 4?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Look at points 1 through 4.
Okay, look at those.
Okay, look at points 1 through 4. That's number 2. Number 1 you already have. You told me that.
Correct.
And number 3 you already have. If you look at number 3, I know the audience is going, what are they talking
what
about?
What are they saying?
Everybody just hang in there for a minute, and it will become self-explanatory, I hope. Aaron, if you and Bill will look at number 3, you'll see 6 bullet points. And if you look at number 2, those are the full 4 points I make. So you should have all 3 of my reports now. Those same 3 reports that you have and you're going to post, they were delivered to the White House. And I don't mean general delivery.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't junk mail them?
All right, we'll take a
to
break.
To the president, care of the White House.
Right.
Excuse me. Or to the president at, I don't know, USA 1 or we were very blessed to be able to send it back channels.
Okay.
Nice.
Take a break.
Nice. We will take a break. Okay. So how about we head out with Faith Hill, American Art, since I didn't send that to Ashley. So we'll just do that out loud. Go Faith Hill. She does an awesome job.
Yep.
You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
My fears aside, my life's a work that I know you'll finish. I know I'm gonna be alright. It's you I'll chase, even when I can't see your face. No matter how many skies fall down, I'm covered under the peace I've found. You're my shelter.
And we're back. Gave us a couple of seconds to do a little online organizing. So you're rejoining We the People Radio. And the website is wethepeopleradio.us. Kind of important for today's program because there's a lot of additional information on there for you to review later. It's a good thing you didn't review it before the show because it's been changing. But we'll have it all on there for you by the end and make sure everything's up and organized and ready to roll. So I've labeled the parts, part one, part two, and part three, so we can follow those more easily with you.
If I could follow in on something real quick.
Sure.
Part of the peace plan was or is purportedly to infuse capital into the economic recovery of the Middle East. And so it is purportedly recommended to put $12.5 billion $25 billion into the Palestinian Authority and then $40 billion into Egypt. Well,
I wonder what they'll use the money for.
Yeah, well, $12.5 billion of the $25 billion could very easily handle our southern border security, and then $10 billion of that $25 billion for the Middle East could surely go and help ICE, Border Patrol, ATF, and things like that. And then another $10 billion, which is slated to go to the Middle East, could surely help our ports guard against bringing in weapons and drugs into our ports. What we have here is the recommendation, let me do it that way, of $25 billion to the Palestinian Authority and then $40 billion to Egypt, which is Muslim Brotherhood. So
why would we give $40 billion to Egypt?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade right now, and I'm not access to all these meetings. But what I'm suggesting, what's leaking out is information that just doesn't make sense when you take a look at the whole Middle East. Why are we giving monies purportedly to those that are opposed to us big time and that are avowed terrorists? So why? This doesn't make sense. And so if you're just trying to put a feather in your cap and say we've put together a peace plan that no one else has been able to do, this just to me is wrong, wrong, wrong. And then if you're giving away slivers of Israeli land, that there's just there's a judgment that will come, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't really see either side going along with something like that. Do you?
Actually, you know, Bill, again, who needs Aaron, right? We got you and me here together. Bill, that's another profound statement, and I don't mean that.
Oh, jeez, now.
I hope you don't take it.
High on cough syrup and all this
no.
Accolades.
Aaron, Bill and I are talking right here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Stand down.
No. Bill, that's really great. Who will benefit from this? Well, they'll take all the monies that we'll give them. It's like a sieve. We'll just keep pouring it in. And they use it against us. It will not bring peace. It's sort of like the Gaza Strip. You've got Hamas operating on the Gaza Strip hundreds of yards from Israel's border, and they're launching missiles and mortars and all sorts of things into the country. And yet we should suggest that they lower the wall between Israel and the Gaza and just allow these people to walk in at free will. There's no rhyme or reason to this at all.
No, because that's just silly.
And so, you know, the money's going in, Bill, it will not bring peace. It will help fortify the Middle East because they are in trouble. Arabia's in trouble. Saudi Arabia's in trouble because of falling oil prices and other concerns. Egypt is having financial difficulties. The Palestinian Authority has absolute financial difficulties. So they would all welcome any of these monies, but it won't change their philosophies. It won't change their assignments and what they're doing. They'll still go after Israel, and indirectly or even directly, they'll come after the United States. makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And to give them land right there in their backyard, land that they take away from Israel.
Correct.
That's
a great point. I think it's in one of my, I don't know if it's part two I sent you, Aaron, but one of the bullet points I pointed out is that it is purported, again, purported that the old city in Jerusalem and some adjacent areas will remain under Israeli sovereignty and control, but they'll be given away to the Palestinian Authority. So let's get this right. In 1967, Israel was invaded by mammoth over forces, mammoth, just 3-4, 5-1, and mammoth, and to wipe out Israel, to wipe out the Jews, to wipe out and to take over Jerusalem and all of Israel. And Israel, again, is, in my opinion, God's apple, and against incredible odds. I mean, just if you go back and study the 67 war conflict, there is no reason, none, that Israel should have won that but God. God intervened, and through God's intervention, because they were attacking God's land that he gave to the Israelites forever for perpetuity, God led them in defeating three powerful armies lined up against them. So now we're going to give back to those same enemies the land that they wanted and had invaded and Israel held on to. So now Israel goes ahead and surrenders that land and gives it back to the enemies?
With our help?
So anyway, what you should have now, I believe, if not, we can do it off air.
No, we're all set. I've got them.
Okay.
And I actually labeled them all part one, part two.
Now you post them, and I believe we even posted the maps. You should have the two maps that we attached to our report, and it shows the boundaries, the original boundaries of Israel, and then what became the boundaries or the borders in 2019. And you can see through the maps that we posted there, there's two maps, the original boundaries, and now what happened as Israel gave away land, and now how it exists, that they have surrendered, to me, it looks like more than 100% of their that wouldn't make right because that would get rid of Israel. More than 50% of their land base, they gave it up. They've surrendered over the years.
The part that doesn't make any sense either. I mean,
None of this does. None of this does. I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
Yeah, and so if people are looking for the maps, you can find the maps. I've got some attachments, Trump-Israel Peace Plan 1 and 2 there. And in those attachments, you'll find the maps.
Everybody would agree there's been perpetually problems in the Middle East / between Israel and its neighbors. I get it. And I think there's been attempts over many decades to try to bring some order and peace to the Middle East. I got that. But you don't mess with the apple of God's eye, which is the land of Israel. And that's what has happened historically, and each and every time, not one out of three times, but each and every time, anyone, be it an Israeli prime minister or anyone else, messes with that, there are consequences that are just astronomical. And what's concerning here is not so much that someone's trying to bring peace to the Middle East. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, except that really do it? I mean, that's the part that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but when you go about giving up slivers of land and doing some other things like we just talked about, that's just, to me, stupid. But
yes. and it makes no sense because you're not going to, I mean, it's funny. It's no different than with kids. You have two siblings fighting. You don't just park them at the table and say, okay, well, it's all over now. Everybody says, oh, okay, we're all good.
Yeah, and on top of that, you take away one kid's toys and give them to the other one, saying everybody be happy. You know, that doesn't
exactly.
It doesn't work. And I don't know how you come up with a peace plan without the input of both sides if you expect it to be successful. You've got to have both parties at the table and come up with a plan that they both agree to And I know they've tried this numerous times for years and years and years. And maybe that's what he thinks will work, is this new approach where we'll draw up the peace plan and you guys just go along with it. But I don't think it's going to fly.
Yeah. This isn't the first time this has not worked, actually.
Correct.
So when we come back, help people understand why they care about this, because that's always a big thing. Our media has done a pretty good job, as have some of the new members of Congress, in, you know, telling everybody that Israel's bad and that we shouldn't care about them at all, and there's plenty of other people to care about if we just blew them off. So let's hit that when we come back before we run out of time in this hour. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. So I what I think is going on.
What?
I'm giving it away in the music.
I
think they've all gone crazy, but it's just a thought.
So Lyle, why?
What do you think is going on?
Yeah, tell us why Israel is important to the United States. I think we tend to lose that in the conversation.
Well, that would make for a whole new show. No kidding aside, I mean that would make for another show, but. In my opinion, the United States was ordained, created, if you will, to be a Christian nation. Judeo-Christian foundation is what we're founded under. Look at our original documents, from the Constitution to the Bill of Rights and everything else, the Declaration of Independence. If you want to read one of the most profound sermons, read the Declaration of Independence. People don't think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. It's a sermon proclaiming this nation, the United States, with its Judeo-Christian heritage, its foundation, to be a light to the world. And Israel, the Jews, were chosen by God to be His apple of His eye, to be a chosen people, that He should never forget and would always bless. He would discipline them. If they went off on their own, He would allow them their free will. And when they stumbled and fell greatly, and they did many a times, He would always restore them and bring them back to Him and put them back on the road that He wanted them to follow. That no one, including America, who is also favored by the Lord, shall tamper with Israel, shall remove anything from Israel, because that was given by the Lord to His people, His chosen people. What has happened from the day that took place way, way, way long ago? I mean, we're talking, go back to long Old Testament days. The enemy of this world, the enemy of mankind, has seen to it that Israel pays a price, and anyone who stands with Israel, supports Israel, pays a price. Israel has also been a blessing to the world. If you take a look at the inventions, the medical breakthroughs, so many things that have come to this world to make it better, it's come from either Israel directly or her descendants. And so the Lord has blessed Israel and her descendants in spite of her disobedience and falling away at times. For America to stand with Israel is a good thing, for any nation to stand with Israel. That doesn't mean we condone everything they do, but to stand with them, to support them, and be their ally is a blessing. You can see what has happened when we've had, under 8 years of Obama, absolute adversarial relationships with Israel. I would think many people, many of your listeners would agree that the United States suffered greatly during those 8 years. Now we have a man who, much like as described in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, Cyrus, in Donald Trump, a man that God chose to bring the United States back from the brink of certain disaster after 8 years of Obama and the promise of Hillary Clinton, brought America back from the brink and turned us around. And you can take a look at the last 2.5 years. As much controversy as there's been and as much fighting toward him, look at the things that have been accomplished under this administration in 2.5 years compared to the last 12, 15 years even, under Bush, Clinton, everybody. There's absolutely a window here in America for America to get some things right and get back to our foundational principles and heritage. And that's what's being ushered in. And part of that is to stand with Israel. And so anyone who stands with Israel can expect an attack, can expect some form of consequence, because the enemy of mankind, the enemy of this world, is not at all in favor of Israel or anything it stands for or anyone who stands with Israel. So I think the battle lines are being drawn as to who is for whom, and I think that's what's becoming evident, and that's one of the things that we pointed out in those three reports that we sent to you.
Yeah, and I think that does become abundantly clear. And do you think that's part of why the left has so much heartburn with this?
Yes, and it's also part of what's happening here domestically. We're looking at no longer Republican and Democrats. I just wrote an article. As you guys both know, I have the privilege, I've had the privilege for 10 years to write for a number of Christian publications. And I just wrote, I thought I sent it to you. If not, I'll do it again. But I just wrote an article. This is no longer an issue of Republican or Democrat. This is not a political issue. What we really have evolving in front of us for everyone to see is a question of morality and immorality, a question of Judeo-Christian principles versus Marxist principles. The battle lines are very clear, and we have people who claim to be conservatives, Republicans, but clearly are against our Judeo-Christian heritage and the principles that made this nation exceptional. And we have been an exceptional nation. Not a perfect nation, not a nation above any other nation, but exceptional because of the way we were formed. And we were formed by a group of 56 men who believed that the Lord of Lords was guiding them. You read their diaries, which I have several of their diaries. You read their pronouncements and articles and papers of the time. And then you read the public pronouncements. Again, the Declaration of Independence, the very Constitution they wrote, the Bill of Rights. And you come to see very clearly that all of them, whether they went to church or not, all of them believed that the God of Israel was leading this little nation out of 13 little colonies into greatness and as an exceptional nation. In other words, exceptional in the fact that we were following biblical principles as a form of government. Name me another nation in this world that will proclaim that other than Israel. There is none. Now, I'll put that out there and have somebody challenge me, but go look. There is not another nation in this world that can come forward and say, at our founding, at our inception, we believe we were following biblical principles. America did, and they posted it that way, and Israel has. So that immediately made us exceptional, especially as we were set up to be a republic. We were not set up to be a dictatorship. We were not set up to have an all-powerful, all-involved government, which is what we've had. The powers and the liberties were given to the states under the 10th Amendment, and then also to the citizens to defend and protect. That was written in our documents. So we are exceptional, not because we don't have sin, or not because we're perfect, or not because we didn't have errors at that time that had to be addressed. We did. But we were exceptional. But the way we were founded, under which principles we were founded, and what we were attempting to do, our forefathers were attempting to do to establish this nation, very different than any other nation in the world. Now, many countries have tried to emulate us, that's true, but they were not founded the way we were.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I think that, I don't know what I could add to that.
That's why I didn't say anything.
Well, and what Aaron said, I think, is so profound. What you have now, you've got Marxists. You have Marxists in Congress, avowed Marxists.
Yep.
They've come out of the woodwork, and they despise America. They despise our Judeo-Christian heritage. They despise the principles by which this nation was founded and which we attempt to adhere to. They despise it. It's not like they disagree with it. They despise it.
Yeah.
And they despise anyone who stands in favor of it. This is what's taking place is really, in my opinion, in the article I just wrote, is a clear battle line.
Yeah, they're attempting basically a giant cultural shift. We've got we've got to come back and talk about that
Aaron, I know we got to go away, but Aaron, I think it's more than a cultural shift. I think it's a principles shift, a values shift, a morality.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you, but
and it's right in our face. I mean, it's front and center right now. I mean,
we won't screw around.
They're taking their big shot right now, and
you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back. Stand upon God's promise and storm hell's rusty gates. What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own way. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could play and unborn children see light of day. What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed? Good afternoon. Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot because it was actually pretty fun and very informative. You can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us. Who, pray tell, is our sponsor, Bill?
This hour, our sponsor is Team Power. And Team Power is our local Kubota tractor dealer up in Shasta Lake, California. And those folks do everything tractors. Tractors, mowers, anything on the farm, they can take a look at it for you.
Or in your yard.
Or in your yard, yeah. Yeah, they don't do rakes and shovels and hoes, but, you know, they do all the mechanical stuff.
Yeah, who does work like that anymore?
Nah,
that's silly.
Uh-uh.
Things with seats.
Yeah. Seats and motors. Yeah.
We even have a picture of our guest on a Kubota tractor. I forgot about that. We should post that again.
Yeah. It's like I've always told you, if it doesn't have a seat or run on batteries, I'm not using it.
That opens up a whole different
We'll leave it alone.
Ashley's looking at me through the window going, she's not really going to say anything about that, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I am.
Okay, well, that wasn't part of the Team Power ad, but you can reach them at 226-9226 and, or get them on the web at readingtractors.com. Let's bail out of that.
That was a great picture of me on that tractor, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Thank God. Get us away from the batteries.
And I'm going to tell you, that tractor company never thought I could do a wheelie on that tractor, but boy, did I show them.
Oh, yeah, for as long. And you held it. Yeah, you held it for good, you know, I don't know,
like
30 feet.
Nothing like burning rubber and ag tires.
And I told you all that the car I hit, it would be fixed. And it was just a minor scratch.
It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, the loader bucket jammed through the driver's side door. But hey, other than that.
Well, yes, okay. But boy, did that tractor. Was that a good
tractor? That 3-point hitch is still in good shape.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing happened to the tractor. That thing is a mammoth beast. Is that picture up on the...
We'll post it.
I'm going to get working on that right away, actually.
Well, because I'm thinking of the people in France. They're going, what is this? Okay, they'll love that. The people in Nigeria and in France. And what is the other country that's...
There's bunches of them. Ukraine has a lot of listeners, too. Hi, Ukrainians.
Hello, all the Ukrainians out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill and Aaron won't say anything to
Macedonians,
you.
There's only like two, so Hillary would be disappointed in us. But
you might even start a international tractor challenge. You know,
that would be a challenge. If we're going to have it started in France.
The tractor challenge.
And see, your sponsor could sponsor me because he'd give me the same tractor I used when I did that wheelie. And, oh, I love this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'd have to put you on the road.
The bicycles are out. The Tour de France is out. It's a tractor race.
Tour de Tronctor.
So they have the Tour de France, and then there's Dr. Lyle with the big tractor coming.
Yeah, be the Tour de France. Is there a France, Texas? There's a, there's a Paris.
There's a Paris, Arkansas, or Oklahoma.
That's where you need to hold it.
Yeah.
You can hold it in Paris. So, hey, just in case people wanted to know who was talking, just for fun. So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And
who's our
guest?
To blame.
Yeah, and our guest.
And our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. And he comes on periodically with us and shares with us all sorts of fun information, things that, I don't know, a lot of times, I don't know about everybody else, but, you watch the, we'll call it news, and it's like the same stuff. Mueller, special report, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of about time we started to learn some different things, and it's time we got out a little bit more. How's that? So, okay, let's finish up our topic on Israel. You had a couple things for us.
I did, or Bill?
Yeah,
did.
You did, from the Foist Hour. Oh, don't try to get away.
Well, I think what we were finishing up with is the cultural change that's occurring in America, where there is more of an anti-Semite atmosphere today than ever before in America. We've seen it worldwide. I mean, the people in France would know about this very firsthand, more than we, because they lived it in World War II. And World War I. But there is definitely anti-Semitism rising. So the hatred of the Jews is on the rise worldwide. And it's happening here in the United States, and I would have never guessed that something like that would happen. I don't mean that somebody disagrees with them or they don't even like them, but we're talking about pure hatred that's beginning to abound. And we're seeing it in all places, in the Congress, on the floor of the Congress.
That just blows my mind that that's allowed.
To me, it's mouth-dropping. I defend the right of people to have differences of opinion. One of my mentors taught me that it's difference of opinion that makes horse races. And I think when Mark Twain said that, it was really right on, because it's okay to have differences of opinion. That's fine. But to have hatred spewing from your mouth and to be a leader of this nation and on the floor of the Congress and to have that spewing is something that is very, very troubling. And I think it denotes what's taking place across this nation with people who have not been challenged with their thoughts and their beliefs. They've just been allowed to get away with them and say them. Let me, if I may, read something, a couple of things that might be entertaining.
We love entertaining.
This is coming from Hillsdale College. They put out a publication called Imprimis, and Hillsdale is just a fantastic university.
Oh, yeah, I love those guys.
I don't work with them. I'm not associated with them. I don't get a check from them, but I don't get a check from you guys either. But anyway, but they put out just a wonderful publication here. And in this, the latest publication, they talk about, for instance, a 134-year-old painting in Notre Dame that was covered up because it was Christopher Columbus. And the president of Notre Dame, John Jenkins, covered it up because it was so controversial. And it was to tell the full story of Christopher Columbus, and it failed to do that, so said a lot of the millennials. And so what he said is, and I'm quoting, "We might call this monument controversy, and what happened at Notre Dame here is a case in point, where a vocal minority claiming victim status demands the destruction, removal, or concealment of some object of which they disapprove. Usually, the official response, as in Notre Dame's case, is they quickly go ahead and do that." Now, what was interesting is that Notre Dame had this picture hanging in a very chosen place for over 134 years. And we're seeing this happen across the nation, where Confederate statues or other paintings or other forms of monuments are being taken down or destroyed. Now, here's one. The English department at the University of Pennsylvania contributed to this monument controversy when it cheered on students who were upset that a portrait of a dead white guy named William Shakespeare was hanging in the department's hallway. So they removed that picture and they replaced it with a photograph of Audre Lorde, a black feminist writer. Students removed the Shakespeare portrait because they thought it was not inclusive. So they were offended by that.
Wow.
Here's in Yale's Sterling Memorial Library, there was a picture depicting an Indian and a Puritan. The Puritan, if you can believe this now, I'm reading, was holding a musket, a gun. We don't know if that Puritan was a member of the NRA or not.
More than likely.
According to the librarian of Yale, the very presence of an armed Puritan at a major entrance to Sterling was not appropriate. So the solution was to cover over the musket with a stone, but leave the Indian's bow and arrow alone. So the Indian has a bow and arrow, which is a weapon, but that's acceptable. But the musket of the Puritan is threatening. And Yale's president said, Peter Salovey, Yale's president said, quote, "Such alteration represents an erasure of history, which is entirely inappropriate at a university. The erasure history, instead of merely altering the image, he took it down completely." And this is taking place across this nation of ours, where they're erasing our history, our heritage, to make things more politically correct. But when you do that, you erase a nation's history. It's good and it's bad. It's mistakes and it's triumphs. And what do you have left? Well, and we're seeing that in Congress with the election of a couple of these newer people who are advocating Islamic doctrine, Sharia, as well as Marxism. And they're not bashful about it. They're very plain. It's not my opinion. They're very outspoken about the whole thing. And if you disagree with them, predicated on Judeo-Christian principles, or if you'll allow me even this far, American principles, we're the bad guys.
Right.
We're considered wrong for having that type of thought process. How dare we support a group of white guys? The white guys are the founders of this nation, the framers of the Constitution. They were all white. And some of them did support slavery. Go back and read your history. It's true. but they worked but through
so
all
did,
of it.
So did a lot of black Africans. So, you know, we've had a lot of people, the British, let's see, the British enslaved the Dutch in South Africa, as we have learned. You know, nobody has a corner on any of these markets. But in honor to God and Guns here, we're gonna throw down a little Lynyrd Skynyrd here going into the break. And we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who embodies the phrase, "I didn't say it was your fault, but I did say I was blaming you." We'll be right back.
Lacked his plans, but they came undone when got around to God and Guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and Guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. If we let them take our God and Guns. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God is great and Guns are good. You really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city on a hill, a candle in the dark. It started long ago. Now we have come so far.
And on that note, Bill had a thought.
Yeah, how can we remember who we are if we go around tearing down our history, and because it offends us today? I mean, what happened yesterday was important. I mean, it stands as a reminder of the good and the bad and what we believed at the time. I mean, that's all important stuff. Because we have come a long way, but it doesn't mean we have to erase everything. And I think by allowing these institutions to do that, we're just condoning, I think, bad behavior today. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no. I think, Bill, what's happening is a deliberate, calculated, sophisticated in some ways, multidimensional plan to collapse the United States, to collapse our history, to collapse our heritage, to collapse who we are, what we stand for, and to roll us into a Marxist society and to roll us into a new world order where history is not respected. Because they're writing, if you will, history right now, mm-hmm. a whole new history, and it's a global humanistic history. It's happening. Why do you think the French who are listening to your show, why do you think the French yellow vests, yellow jackets, I believe they're called, why are they fighting? Well, they're fighting not just because of gas taxes that were raised unconscionably and other forms of taxes, but they're fighting because they have finally awoken to the fact that they're losing their country. They're losing their heritage. They're losing their culture. There are big sections of Paris that are no-go zones because of the Muslims. So the Muslims are allowed in. They change the culture of France. They change everything about that area, and it's supposed to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, Frenchmen are not allowed to go into those areas.
Including the police.
Well, yeah, because they have their own police. They're doing the same thing here. New York, I just got a report, and you all may have seen it a couple of weeks ago from law enforcement there, where there's real growing problems because the Islamic community has got their own police force. They have the same cars as NYPD, white with blue lettering, the whole thing. It's,
wow.
But it says Muslim, Islamic police department, Islamic police, I think. And there's pictures all over the internet now of this. The game plan is to eliminate the culture, the heritage of the United States of America. And it's being supported by globalists. The open borders crowd, one dimension of this is to bring in people who will help vote Democrat and forevermore eliminate any conservative movement. That's just one dimension to this. But what's not spoken of, as if that was not bad enough, is to give all of these people from anywhere in the world who come into America, give them the same rights, privileges, abilities as every American without having to come and become American. They do not come in here like our grandparents did, our great-grandparents did through Ellis Island, where they waited in line. They waited years to get in, and then they had to wait in line, and then they had to go through all sorts of tests and screening, and they gladly did so to become Americans. Now, they didn't forget their Italian heritage, French heritage, Polish heritage, whatever. They did not.
Don't forget the Irish.
Along with their Polish heritage, French heritage, whatever heritage, they adopted the United States of America, and they became United States citizens. And they brought with them their heritage, their traditions, and that helped enrich us. And, yes, we are a multicultural nation, but we're one nation under God. Not anymore. That's not what is taking place at our border. And all of these countries that are trying to seep in through our border, these people intend to come in, have no intention of becoming United States citizens, but they will take every item, every benefit, every privilege they can get without paying anything into it and without becoming United States citizens. Again, to collapse the United States.
Right. Well, the thing is, too, when you came in through Ellis Island, there was a sense of pride that you know you were becoming an American. You pledged allegiance to
very
the
much.
Flag. And these folks that come in now, they want to bring the culture they're running away from. They want to bring that here and throw out everything that's here now and kind of restructure what they're running away from, which makes no sense to me.
No, and we don't have the leaders that we used to have who are willing to stand up. I don't care if it's in Congress or wherever. That's one of the reasons Mr. Trump is such a lightning rod. He has stood up and publicly proclaimed his allegiance to the United States of America. Now, go figure.
Yeah.
I mean, President of the United States professing such allegiance.
And that makes him a horrible bigot, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
which is kind of funny. I mean, when did that become
a bad thing?
A bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, you go back and you take a look at colleges that no longer teach citizenship, civics, whatever you want to call it. There was a colleague of mine, his son just took his ACTs for college entrance, and there were no questions on civics or U.S. history.
That's because the people in Hollywood that are faking the exams to get their kids in don't know anything about it and couldn't pass. Just a thought.
It is.
Yeah.
But again, it's a part of rewriting our nation to fit what they intend for us to become.
Mm-hmm.
What will make it better is if we can lower the voting age to 16.
I've always thought
people
who are 16 should vote.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
They don't know anything about how our government works. and we're going to let them vote.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another step in the wrong direction.
Well, and that's one of the, again, we talked about the billions of dollars going to the Middle East under the proposed plan, Middle East plan. Those billions of dollars would more than clearly secure our border, help law enforcement, all of that. But no, they have no intention of putting monies into maintaining the sovereignty of this nation. But they'll give it away elsewhere. It's
crazy.
Makes no rhyme or reason.
No. How about this? Let's break just like a half a minute early for a change. Totally confusing. Probably mess up the whole show. And then we'll come right back. We need to get an update from you on the border. How's that?
When there we were all in one place. A generation lost in space. With no time left to start again. Stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as
flame... I can do it. Let's go.
Now everybody has this notion. Come to the USA. Don't you worry about money. Stupid Americans pay. Yeah, they'll pay for your healthcare. Education too. Just sneak across the border and they'll take care of you. Well, they're crossing from Tijuana and California's line and up in Vancouver. Nobody seems to mind. In containers from China. Yeah, you can stow away. To the USA.
That's a catchy tune right there.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Okay.
We're going to credit Rusty Humphries with that one.
Is there a whole song there? Did we cut it out?
Yeah. I've got the second half. We'll do it on the next break. I've got a part two. I couldn't.
Oh, that is profound.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you could actually
engineer.
You could actually understand what he was saying. I found that little gem on YouTube because I am now the musical coordinator.
I gave her promotion.
Did she get more pay than I?
No, it didn't come with a pay raise, just a promotion.
No, you get to stay up till 2 o'clock on Saturday night.
I get more sleep.
get it done before Sunday.
Oh, so that's why you called me at 2 o'clock. Well, what are you doing?
That's Bruce's job. We all know that.
Yeah, we'll be sitting there, and at like 11:30, your phone rings. I'm like, who the hell calls you at 11:30 at night?
Bruce.
That's Bruce.
Aaron.
Yeah.
So many choices. Well, everybody shout out
to me tomorrow because the pet sitters that we were going to talk about, pets and fleas, couldn't be on. So. Call Lyle. He's not doing anything.
Call Lyle. He's just hanging around.
Yeah, call Lyle. He's not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. It really was kind of difficult to get this thing all squared away. I mean, people have no idea. First, it was the 31st and the 7th, but we're talking about pot on the 7th, and then Bruce was on today, but then he's on the 31st. It's like, oh, man. So we're actually set for the next 2 weeks. People could actually go to the schedule and look if they really want to know. But I'm not going to spoiler alert that for you. So, okay, so we've got border update and the sheriffs and roughly 20 minutes to do it in. So
well,
you just hit that, Lyle, however you want.
On the border update, as you all know, for 10 years, a little over, I have provided elected officials and law enforcement officials updates, intelligence on border activities and threats to our sovereignty. And since October, last October, with the increase in border attempts, I was able to have a pilot actually fly our border and go way, way south into Mexico and on the border of Guatemala, Mexico, and we were able to track the caravans that were making their way northward. And not being braggadocious, I don't mean that by all means, but we were the ones that were able to report that became public information that there were four caravans, and in the first caravan there were 15,000 invaders, I called it, and then we named approximately how many in the following three caravans, and then the fourth and third caravan actually combined and became one caravan. We were able to disclose lots of intel, what they were wearing, that about 90% were males, not children and families like the press loves to report. We had pictures to that effect, intel from the ground. We were able to show that the males were, like I said, 16 to about 35 years of age, in fighting firm health. A lot of them were gangbangers, MS-13, etc. We also were able to determine and validate that they were from a variety of nations, including Middle Eastern nations at war with the United States, that these were not people from Mexico simply wanting to come north for a better life, that these were people from Middle Eastern countries, way down in Africa, who had no intention of becoming American citizens, but get across into America and take anything that they could get. All of this information, along with the diseases that we uncovered, all this information was sent upward to various sources in our government. And the information was so specific, so clear, and so verifiable that for about 6 months, from October until just about a month ago, we were able to be one of the sources that provided very accurate intelligence on the continuing fluid situation. With that said, what I can tell you now is that there are still thousands upon thousands inbound to our borders. They're coming from Middle Eastern countries, including Iran, as well as other countries that have no interest in becoming American citizens. The numbers are staggering. There is well over a 300% increase in the courts that process visas and process paperwork to enter the United States and or to even be considered as American citizens. The courts are broken. They're so overwhelmed. Border Patrol is overwhelmed. Border Patrol is short, I think about 2,500 last I checked. I haven't checked in a couple of weeks, but they're about 2,500 short, not to mention the staggering numbers coming up from the south. The idea was to enter the United States in Tijuana, San Diego, and then in eastern Arizona, and then in the Rio Grande area of Texas, McAllen, Texas, and the entire Rio Grande area. So they had pointed out three areas that we had learned that they were interested in crossing over. And what threw it off there for a while is that all of them were going to the Tijuana, San Diego sector. And you'll remember finally in the media, conventional, which is no longer media, but the conventional extension of the Democrat Party publicity wing, the backlog of illegals in Tijuana, to the point where there was disease breaking out, crime breaking out. The mayor of Tijuana, the citizens of Tijuana ended up pushing them, trying to get them out of their area because they were destroying the community of Tijuana. They did make a couple of attempts to rush the border, and our Border Patrol, along with other law enforcement, were able to beat them down, push them back. This is still going to happen. There are communities now based in a couple of different areas along our border, and in one sense, the goal is to have like a Gaza Strip, like we talked about at the front of the hour or last hour, like they have in Israel. There's the Gaza Strip where you have Palestinians, Hamas, and others on one side, and 100 yards over, you've got Israelis. And the Hamas people are trying to cross into Israeli territory and become invisible, if you will. Same thing's happening on our southern border. We've got communities that are beginning to be developed contiguous with our border. One can only guess that the idea is somehow, some way, they'll find a hole through our border and siphon in, slither in. They've attempted it in the San Diego region. They've been repelled three or four times now. They did the same thing in Deming, New Mexico. They were repelled. 400 were arrested the other night in El Paso. So they're coming in larger groups to bridge the border. They're not coming in groups of one and two or six. They're coming in larger numbers, hoping to overcome our forces, our defenses. And so it's really a cat and mouse game, and we're in a little trouble. There is a crisis on our southern border. Mr. Trump has successfully gotten funding, and they're moving quickly. They've already begun to establish the border wall. This business that they haven't even started is misinformation. They have started. They've pretty well secured the San Diego sector. Now they're working on the rest of the 2,000-mile. It's a 2,000-mile border. And so they've secured probably 35, 50 miles in the San Diego area. Some of Yuma, the Yuma area, about 60 miles of the Yuma border, Yuma, Arizona, has already been fairly well secured. They're just reinforcing it. And so that means they're moving their way to move quickly into areas that have no really border fence. And there's many, many miles that have no border fence. There's one string of barbed wire. And there's so many videos showing this that it's silly to say otherwise. So there is a rush to get this border wall established, get it up, get it going. We're very fortunate that the president has gone ahead and sent additional troops to the border to help support Border Patrol and other law enforcement. They will stay there until the end of September. Then I have no idea what will happen. So that's kind of a real quick update.
Now, one of the things, I don't know if people realize this, but once they cross into the United States, if they are successful in crossing that line and getting 2 feet on U.S. soil, that puts them in the system, the way I understand it, and they get a piece of paper, and if it's backlogged, they get released. Now, does that only pertain to people that are seeking amnesty, or is that pretty much anyone who comes across for whatever reason? Do they get a piece of paper and get released, or does anybody get thrown back on the other side?
Yes, and yes. Historically, all they had to do is cross over and holler "Ali, Ali, entry." I mean, they're in, they're safe. They could claim asylum. But what has occurred is there are border defenses now in place where they can watch them cross the border and nab them right there, and that does not constitute them claiming asylum. They have to prove why they're claiming asylum. They are taken to a facility and processed, but if they cannot prove the reasons for asylum, along with a number of other considerations, then they're released back across the border.
Okay.
That's a change in policy. Likewise, if children are dropped over the border, and there's videos to this effect where they drop them over the border, if it's determined that their parents are not the ones that drop them over, and a vast majority of them are not with parents, they're with cartel people and others who have been paid to bring these kids here to become like anchor babies. So once the child is here and thrown over the border, the idea is they're here in the United States. The United States won't take a little child, 7, 8, 9, 10, and throw them back. Therefore, they'll keep them here in the system. And once they get settled, then they can bring their mom and dad and aunts and uncles. And that's what's historically gone on. That has all stopped. They have learned, meaning American officials, have learned the hard way that a preponderant majority of these little people are not brought up here by parents. They're brought up here by coyotes and others. They're paid Usually it's anywhere from $5,000 to $9,000 to bring them and smuggle them into the United States. Mm-hmm. And that's no longer being acceptable. So fortunately, they're being flown back to their parents. They're being reunited with their parents, which is one of the things Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and all these people are hollering about, is that Trump is keeping these poor little kids from their parents. Well, okay, let's send them back to their parents, because their parents are not on the border.
Right.
Which will finally disincentivize some of the human trafficking.
I don't want to break the chain here, but let's take a break and pick this up on the backside, because I heard a story where there's like 400 of them that got in and they all got released into our country. But let's take a break and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Okie dokie. Here's the second half of our snazzy little Rusty Humphreys song.
Down in Guadalajara and from Pakistan. Your friends, you're leaving. Let's stuff them in your van. They're coming from Afghanistan through San Francisco Bay. Everybody is sneaking into the USA. Well, they're coming from the galleys down Arizona way.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps. Now he's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
And now you know why they're doing it. Okay, Bill had a question.
Yeah, there was a story here, it's probably been a month ago, where they captured, I think, 300 or 400 in a group that walked across the border, which is amazing that we have a border that is like a sieve where 400 people can cross in and not get caught until they get here. But they were all released into, I believe, El Paso or someplace after they were processed because the detention facility was full. How does that happen?
Well, I read the same report or a similar report. I can't confirm that that happened. What I can say is that the facilities are overwhelmed. The court systems are overwhelmed. DHS, which is responsible not only for the security of the border, but the processing, is overwhelmed. By overwhelmed, I mean they literally are overwhelmed. There's picture, if you will, in your radio. I haven't been in your studios, but picture in your studio, I don't care how large it is, let's say 10,000 people came into your studio. Well, I doubt seriously if you could handle 10,000, maybe not even 1,000, maybe not even 500, but let's say they were there, and then they clogged your parking lot and everything else. I mean, you just could not handle it.
No.
You would be overwhelmed.
Well, there was, I think one of the reports said that since the first of the year, which has been, 3 months, there's like 250,000 arrested or captured. Now, not all of those have been released back into the country, but still they had to process 250,000 people since the first of the year. That sounds like a major problem to me.
It would take another segment to discuss the problems. They are alarming. They're factual. They're not philosophical. They're not opinionated. They're factual. Let me give you one fact. Only 1% of the removals of 400 or whatever number you want to put, only about 1% are on monitoring devices.
Oh, terrific.
There's not enough monitoring devices. Secondly, the monitoring devices are about 72,000 a year. You cannot do this. We cannot support this.
No.
financially and just man hour wise, we cannot support what's taking place and what's still coming. It is anticipated, depending on which report you read, that in the next 12 months, and this was starting in, hold on, I'll tell you, I'm looking at it right now, is that January? Yeah. So starting in January, which is now, this is the end of March. So in 12 months from the 1st of January, there's an anticipation of 2 million to 3 million additional invaders attempting to cross our border, southern border alone.
Jeez.
And that's by people who are monitoring this stuff. Breitbart is very good, by the way, at coming up with reports and giving fact-based stuff. So 2 to 3 million more in the next 12 months. There's just no way. The system is broken. We cannot do this. So by putting up such a wall and then by reinforcing that wall even with Border Patrol and policies that say, no, you cannot just walk over. No, you can't throw somebody over. We will take them back. They are shipping them back. I'm sorry, they're airplaning them back, airlifting them back to Mexico. But that's just a cumbersome problem. There are some who must meet some form of requirement that they are given ankle bracelets and monitored and allowed to petition for asylum. But that number is well down because they were all claiming that and they had no business claiming that. Likewise, with children, the idea was to immediately take the children, secure them, make sure they were physically healthy and taken care of, and reunite them with their families. And actually, the Democrats had a lot to do with that because they were hollering that Trump and company were doing everything they could to keep them separated. So the idea was, okay, let's find out who their parents are and let's get them right back to their parents. Well, again, like 90%, the parents were in Mexico, and these kids were given to coyotes and brought this way. So they're picked up, they're housed. They're taken care of in a detention center, cleaned up, medically taken care of, and then flown back to their point of origin.
Yeah, how horrible is that? You're keeping children from the parents that gave them to a coyote.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's not being reported. See,
none
of this is being reported because it's more emotional, it's more sensational to say that here's a little five-year-old. What are you going to, this poor little five-year-old. And it just pulls on your strings, heartstrings. He just wants a better life. Well, okay.
I think we should give the five-year-old a better life and make sure the parents stay in Mexico. I mean, to give a child like that to a total stranger, to me, shows a total lack of concern for that child's well-being.
That's what they're doing, Bill.
I know it. I know
it. And the kicker is, as a country, when we put so on the one hand, it makes sense to put a, you know, to make those cases a priority. The problem is you're incentivizing people to come here with children who potentially aren't theirs. So in order for them to get all the gang members in and different people, they've got to find somebody to, you know, steal a kid from or pay somebody to take their kid so that they can come here and become a priority. We're actually incentivizing human trafficking.
Okay, that's well placed. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's just silly. Same to women and children. I mean, you extend it all the way out. So find some lady and a kid and snatch them up and force them to come here and then ditch them.
But you see, that logic, and I mean this properly, that logic is not being telegraphed. It's not being reported.
No,
it's not being put out there. You're exactly right. We are, in a way, incentivizing human trafficking.
I mean, we know this from training dogs. You know, my mom's last dog, the dog would bark, and she'd say, no, no more food. And then she'd be like, okay, just a few Cheerios. And she'd like give her. So then the dog would bark some more, and she'd say, no, that's it. Okay, just a few more. I mean, it doesn't work with dog training, for heaven's sakes.
No. But again, this movement of all of these hundreds of thousands of invaders, and there are, already here, already on the southern border, still in transit, and the others that are still beginning to form up, this whole program is well-funded. I'm not saying they're being paid, but they're being fed, they're being taken care of. Well, we had videos, we showed beyond a doubt the porta potties that were left off in various caravan routes, and the food tents and the piles of clothing that were placed there. So when that caravan came to that point, they could get new tennis shoes, they could get whatever. Who funded all that?
Right.
Well, we were able to uncover some of that funding, which I can't discuss, but we were able to uncover some of that funding. It was in the reports that are not public that did go into various agencies. It's a very well-planned process that's taking place before our eyes, which goes back to the previous hour, again, to collapse the sovereignty of the United States, to remove our history, to bring in anyone and everyone and let them run amok and take advantage of us, and then ultimately economically collapse the United States into the new world order.
Yeah, we're busy convincing everyone that we should get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, it's an effective plan, because at some point we will be on our knees and we will have to submit to a whole new program in order to regain control.
Well, look at California, where you all live.
Yep. Must
look
we? What's
happening.
Must we?
Guys,
really? Really? The unpleasantness right here at the end? Hey,
you guys are near,
hey, crank that
you
up, Ashley. Here's your special song, Lyle. Dr. Lyle Rapacki, guest.
Thank
of
you. Thank you for coming on, Lyle.
Favorite guy.
Probably be my last time, huh, guys?
No, you got your own theme song now. Thanks a lot. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Bye.